Okay, as we endeavor on into the study, it's been a interesting study, and it brought out a lot of interesting points to me. And as I read through this, and even today's lesson on the full armor of God, This today's lesson could be divided up into a whole series of lessons, if not just at least six lessons, one on each part of the armor. But that kind of got me going here a little bit on trying to get this organized. And if it still seems it's a little bit unorganized, that's blame it on me. But some of these slides today, I'll have my commentary on the screen. You'll be able to read along with me. But in the Ephesian letter, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, there's six pieces of the armor that God wants us to put on and we want to put on. And they are the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Chapter 6 offers four primary points closing out Paul's letters to the Ephesians. First, he provides instructions concerning children and parents in verses 1 through 4. Second, he provides instructions for relationships between masters and servants. And third, Paul discusses the armor of God. And fourth, the very end of the chapter, Paul concludes his final greeting to the readers. The third part of Ephesians, that's verses 10 through 20, discusses the armor of God. Believers are to be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God to stand against Satan's schemes. Our battle is spiritual. It's not physical. This armor allows believers to stand firm in faith. It includes a belt of truth. We just read through those. The Word of God The Word of God is listed as one offensive weapon. All the rest of the weapons or the defenses, shields are defensive. Only one would be the offensive, that being the spear. And right at the end, Paul asks his readers to pray for him to speak boldly about Christ. Okay, the very first verse says a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty powers. That word, a final word, is a pretty strong indication that Paul is bringing his letter to a close. And this verse introduces the overall motivation of Paul's instructions, namely that is strength through the Lord and of the Lord. Here, after discussing the real world application of wisdom, Paul notes that the believer does not rely on his or her own strength, but on the power of God to win victory in life's battles. Verse 11, put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Here Paul introduces the armor of God, a famous and often used metaphor from the Bible. Paul begins with two important qualifiers in this verse. These give a useful perspective on what these various components are meant to function. and why they are important. His admonition is put on these pieces is also instructive. Christians have to be deliberate about using these implements. And it doesn't do much good to put on just part of the armor of God, because the devil will, his craftiness and cleverness will find a way to get to you if that chink in your armor is there and is open. So we need to work hard to put on the full armor of God. And as we go through this, hopefully it will become more of a discussion of the pieces of the armor. Okay, verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Again, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms. This verse describes the physical battle, the spiritual battles that exist in the lives of believers. It does so perhaps better than any other words in Scripture. First, Paul affirms our battle is indeed spiritual, not physical. The enemies we face ultimately are not people or objects. The devil may use those as part of his attack, but our true opponent is not other people. It is sin. Spiritual battles can occur at all levels, anywhere across the world and beyond. The believer must be prepared for all types of attacks through putting on God's armor, as Paul has described. Verse 13, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Again, we need to put on every piece of God's armor. Okay, now we'll get into the pieces of armor. There are six of them, and the first one we'll talk about is a belt of truth, followed closely by the armor of God's righteousness. It says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. First, we'll talk about the belt of truth. And the application of this is Satan's fights with lies, and sometimes his lies sound like the truth. But only believers of God's truth, which can defeat Satan's lies. Truth can be found in the Bible, and lies are the basis of what Satan tends to hit us with, trying to make lies sound as truths and lead us in the wrong direction. In pursuit of this truth on a specific topic, but don't forget to grab hold of the whole scriptures. Don't just study the parts that come easy or for devotional readings. Press into the whole course of God's word. Memorize the truth for quicker access when you need it. Cover your world with scriptures on post-it notes, screensavers, decor, and anything that will help you remember of God's word in spiritual battle. The Roman soldier wore around his waist belt known as a single room that builds for critics, that the armor, but because it held over the armor. Now, I'm not sure what I'm getting at right here. But as long as you hold firmly to the belt of truth, that closes up many of the doors and the arrows that the devil will shoot at you. Let's move on to the second part of that verse, the full it says stand your ground, put in the belt of truth. Okay, this is talking about the armor of God's righteousness. That would be the breastplate. And its use is for righteousness. The application, the devil, after the attacks our hearts, the seed of our emotions, self-worth and God's righteousness is the best place to take your hearts and ensures his appointment he approves for us because he leaves us and sent his son to die for us. Righteousness means being made right. Sometimes scriptures refer to righteousness that is that Christ gives us. His righteousness. It's in, you can talks about that in 2 Corinthians 5:12. Sometimes scripture refers to righteousness that God carries out through us, like the righteous acts of the saints. In daily battles, both varieties of righteousness protects the heart. We need the complete righteousness of Christ, but also the continuous righteousness that comes as a response to God's gift. The enemy tempts with all kinds of sinful entanglements, but righteousness protects our hearts. God's instructions are often viewed as killjoys or burdens, but obedience to God is a protection for your heart from being wounded by sin. Any comments on the belt of truth or the breastplate of righteousness? Okay. Verse 15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news so that you will be fully prepared. Okay, the piece of armor are the shoes or the footwear. Use readiness to spread the good news. Satan, in the application, Satan wants us to think that telling others of good news is a worthless and hopeless task. The size of the task is too big and the negative response is too much to handle. But the footgear of God gives us is motivation to continue to proclaim the true peace of availability that is available in God. And I had a hard time seeing shoes as a piece of armor. When I first see that, it takes me back to the statue where the statue has the feet of clay. This is just the opposite of that. We need to put on the shoes that are not made of clay. But with these shoes, it's referring to our ability to go out and spread the word. We aren't to keep it a secret, keep it to ourselves. We are to teach others of God's plan for us. And with shoes for traveling, this will make that possible. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Piece of armor is the shield. Use is faith. What we see are Satan's attacks in the form of insults, setbacks, and temptations. But the shield of faith protects us from Satan's fiery darts. With God's perspective, we can see beyond our circumstances and know the ultimate victory is ours.
You know, Charles, as you were talking about this, I was thinking about what Paul did, especially what we were talking about this morning. And there were so many things that were arrayed against him. But in the end, Paul makes the observation that God protected him through all of this. He was not defeated. And in every case, he was indeed able to stop the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that's what we have to rely on. We can't do it ourselves.
That made me think of something. We've got a CD that by the Browns, it's a Family Gospel by the Browns. Very good CD. And on there, there's a song that both Carolee and I heard this morning. I thought, now I need to remember that. I told Carolee to remember too, but guess what? It didn't work. We both forgot what it was. Something about truth will get you to the door of heaven, but faith is the key that unlocks the door. And it was a good
prayer.
Okay, prayer. Okay. I often wonder what it would be like to be, I think we all wonder what it would be like to be in a place where these temptations don't exist, these setbacks, the insults don't exist. And we're all working towards that, and hopefully we'll all be able to obtain that final reward that God has for us. And when we think about that, the possibility of that, it does bring peace to our hearts. And it brings us our mind to prayer also, that we need the Lord's help in whatever we do. Okay, let's go on to the next item. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, sword, which is the word of God. Piece of armor is a helmet. It's used for salvation. Application, Satan wants to make us doubt God, Jesus, and our salvation. The helmet protects our minds from doubting God's saving work for us. And with that, I would ask someone who is listening and to comment on that. And when I do that, it's going to be kind of a stab in the dark, because what I'm seeing on my screen is just my PowerPoint presentation. I don't see who is here, but I believe earlier that Carl said something that made me think that he was listening also. I was wondering if you had any comments on this verse, Carl.
That which would make us to doubt God. That would be many things. One of his most effective tools is working through people, what people say, and the influence that they can carry.
Okay.
So as the apostle said, we must obey God, rather than men.
Yes, there are many different ways that the devil can attack us, and this is one of the pieces of the armor that we can use to protect us. Let's go on to verse 18. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Piece of armor is the sword. The use, it's the word of God. The sword is the only weapon of offense in this list of armor. There are times when we need to take advantage, take the offensive against Satan. When we are tempted, we need to trust in the truth of God's word. Okay. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. After describing the pieces of armor of God, Paul adds another important part of the spiritual battle, prayer. This is not a piece of spiritual armor. It is an essential to winning spiritual battles. Prayer connects us to the power of God, which is necessary to defeat spiritual enemies. Communication in battle is often the difference between victory and defeat. Paul then notes some specific applications of prayer in this verse and the next. First, believers are to pray in the Spirit. Our prayers are not merely our thoughts or about our desires, but are to be done in submission to God. Prayer is something to do with all perseverance. We do not pray once a day and then stop. We are to talk with God persistently and about all matters. Nothing is too big or too small to discuss with the Lord. Paul highlights the importance of praying for the needs of other believers. We praise God in prayer. We pray for our own needs. We also pray for the needs of others. Each of these areas is important. And looking back, you know, stay alert and be persistent in the prayers of all believers. I think that is very important as we go about our daily lives. We run into things that we don't like, and they may need correction or they may not, but they go contrary to our belief. And sometimes the best thing for us to do is just a short little prayer to God to help you maintain control and to move on without causing you to stumble. Verse 19, and pray for me too. This is a very emphatic statement that Paul is ending this letter. It says, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysteries. Mysterious plans that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. In previous studies, we've talked quite a bit about the Jews and the Gentiles. And you know, sometimes we hesitate in asking for the prayers of others, but that is, I don't know if it's shyness or what it is, but I don't think I've ever been offended when somebody's asked, you know, me to pray for them or to lead a prayer with them in it. It's good, and it's something that we should do, because we all do need prayers at some point in our lives. In verse 20, I am in chains now. Remember that Paul is writing this from prison in Rome. He's in chains and he's still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Being in chains for a period of time and the sufferings and the things that Paul went through would tend to make you not want to speak boldly. If you keep on beating you down and they destroy your confidence in things. But Paul was a strong man. He was a man that called on God quite often, as we should. And okay, let's go on to the next verse. To bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I am doing and how I'm getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. This verse begins to conclude the concluding section of the letter, extending through 24. Paul expresses a desire to offer additional information about his situation in Rome. In addition to this letter, he seems to be sending a particular person, Tychicus, to the Ephesians church. Tychicus more than likely delivered additional information about why Paul, with Paul's written reading. And I don't recall it right now, but I know in a previous lesson, Tychicus established a church there near Ephesus, and that church grew and was strong. Verse 22, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. It's very encouraging to get a letter from someone that you are worried about, and they let you know that they're doing fine, and that gives you encouragement when they do that. This verse clearly expresses the reason Paul sent Tychicus to Ephesus with this letter. I have sent him to you for this very purpose. Two reasons are given. First, that you may know how we are. The we in this verse may also refer to the others serving with Paul in Rome during this time. This includes I can pronounce the second name better, Mark, and Jesus, and Justice, and Epaphras, and Luke, and Demas, Articus. Second, Paul sent Tychicus to encourage their hearts. Tychicus was likely gifted as encourager. Paul wanted him to build up the Ephesian believers and encourage with encouraging stories and teachings in addition to those shared in Paul's written letter. Tychicus is also noted as a person who would encourage the hearts of the Colossian believers. Though not the top leader, Tychicus served as an important figure and had tremendous influence in the early church, traveling to several locations, both with Paul and apart from him, to share the gospel and encourage early believers. Verse 23 says, peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love and with faithfulness. Paul offers his concluding words over verses 23 and 24, including another mention of peace. This verse uses the Greek word Adelphios, which literally means brothers and generally refers to males. In context, however, it seems to mean both men and women as brothers and sisters in Christ. Early in Ephesians, Paul made a reference to Christians in terms of encompassing all people, regardless of gender. Paul's wish for peace extends to all the believers in Ephesus. In addition to peace, Paul offered love with faith. These traits are acknowledged as from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul opened the letter with a dual emphasis on the Father and Christ and concludes with them together. In Paul's mind, the understanding, he understood the Father and the Son are one God. The next and final verse. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, I'm sure this is a letter from Paul to the Ephesians, but I'm sure it can be applied to us also. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we definitely do love the Lord. And with that, do we have any questions or comments? I thought we'd have a lot of comments when it comes to the full armor of God. But we didn't seem to have too many. And if you don't have any comments, I've got, or questions, I've got some questions for you.
Chuck?
Yeah.
Lee says, there's no armor for the backside of a Christian.
That's an interesting observation. I never thought of that. But maybe the armor of God should... he shouldn't need it there because he's always moving forward. Or you could say that God has his backside.
Sounds good.
Discussion questions. Why is the word finally here? These all refer to today's lesson. No answer.
It's the last, he's coming to the last point. He's telling them, I'm wrapping it up.
Okay. And the second question is, how can we be strong? Easy question. What does it want us to do?
Put on the whole armor of God.
Correct. And if we have on the full armor of God, we are indeed protected. How can we put on this armor of God?
Open your Bible and read it on a daily basis and protect yourself and try to teach it the best you can.
Very good. Next question is, what is the purpose of this armor?
Lee says to withstand the devil.
Yeah, and all the devices the devil uses to get to you. What is the real war taking place in this world?
What's the real what? Work?
The real war.
War. Battling against the devil.
Spiritual. Good and evil.
Yes, and dropping right down to the next question, which is kind of tails off of the one we just asked. Who is the war between?
Between us and the devil?
Yeah, between us and the devil. And when we say us, that is also us spiritually. You know, it's Christ has been there for us always, and he will always be there for us. We must use his defenses that he has. Next question. Who, what are the rulers, the powers, the world forces, the spiritual forces of wickedness?
Listen to the devil.
Yeah. What are they doing in the world? That will go right along with the next question. What is their goal?
Leading people astray.
Okay. And who are they serving? These rulers. They're serving the devil. How can we fight back?
With the armor.
With the full armor of God. How can we win? Be persistent. Be constantly studying and reading the Bible, and make sure that you're fully prepared. When you meet someone on the street and ask questions, you.
One other thing that we could add to that is by prayer.
Yes. And it says, what is, go ahead.
Prayer is a key.
Yeah.
As the song said.
Right. How can we win? Well, we've already talked about that. What is the purpose of the armor? To deflect all the attacks of Satan. What does it mean to stand firm?
Resist him, steadfast in the faith.
Yeah.
Knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
Yes. Thank you, Carl. And how were these pieces used in war at the time? I think this is referring to Paul as one of the pieces that taught God's word and instructed people as to how they should live their lives. And what is the significance of assigning certain characteristics to certain parts of the body? Now, that one, I don't know. These questions were taken out of a commentary. Maybe I ought to ask Carol Lee to answer that one. All I got out of that was a chuckle. Well, okay. Yes?
Carol, I think in some sense we have to understand that there is no insignificant part when we think about standing against Satan. You have to protect the whole thing.
Yes. And
if you, I like the way you said it before, Satan will look for a place that there's a chink in the armor, and that's where he's going to go. I know for me, the chink in the armor is the thought that creeps into my thinking is that I'm not worthy. I'm not able to say that I am what God wants me to be. And that's true. I'm not. But God will make me worthy. So I can put on Jesus, and, you know, that deflects a lot of what Satan can bring against me.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank everybody for their input and for your patience with me. I've enjoyed this study, even though it may made me nervous at times, but I still enjoyed it. And we've all got some more studying to do. And I guess that next class will be on the book of Judges. And Ron Harrison is going to be leading that discussion. But during the same time, I'm going to go back and look through Ephesians again and learn a little bit more about that. And a part that in this lesson that we read about was memorizing the Word of God, memorizing the verses here and there. That's something that as a child going up through Bible classes that we always had verses to remember and to memorize. And I know that quite a few years ago there at Coburg Grove Church, I think it was Jerry encouraged us to memorize a verse, and he would give us the verse, and the next Sunday at that same class time, he would call on somebody to recite it. And that led to some embarrassment for some of them. And so Jerry decided to stop doing that. But I now think it was a good plan. Okay, well, thank you all. And we'll see you on Monday night. Hopefully you'll all be there for the prayer meeting.
Thank you, Chuck, from Lee and I.